Hey guys, welcome to episode 3. The guest for this episode is Sue Smith, who, after listening to this, I know you'll want to see more of her. She hosts BYOT Sundays at the Beast and Open Michelle on Thursdays at the Beast, so check that out. That's UCB East in the East Village for the non-comedy people who are listening too, so hi, Mom. So check out Sue there, and I don't really have much to say other than thank you so much for downloading. It's been amazing. And follow me on Twitter at Liz Lurinsky, and that's about it. The website's Gabbin Like Gals. If you have any questions or you want to say, hey Liz, I think this person would be a great guest, that would be awesome. So enjoy the episode. Bye.
No, I like cats. I had a cat growing up. I like adopted a stray cat. I like them, but I don't know, I'm just not responsible enough.
They're so easy.
For pets in general.
But a cat, you just like leave. It's cool. Yeah.
It's also having a litter box.
That's a lot. Yeah. It's like a every other day situation. Can I tell you what happened to me today?
Yes.
So I've been trying, like, the thing about my cats is that I'm allergic to them.
Oh, my God.
But then I got them, and I was like, oh, it'll be fine. I'm adorable. Or I'm not adorable. They're adorable.
Well, you are. You're adorable, too.
Thanks. Oh, my God.
Don't put yourself
down. Blowing it. So I'm allergic to them, but I've been using Fresh Step litter, which is the best litter, but it gets really dusty. So I've been trying new litters. And this other one was, like, gross, and it smelled like drugs. Like, I would walk in and I'd be like, what smells like Coke? Oh, the litter. But this morning I came over and the whole litter box was knocked over. And it was disgusting. Aww. And I had to clean it up. And then I went and I was like, okay, you guys don't like this litter. I get it. And I went and got some new litter and put it in and cleaned the litter box. And then the cats took some huge dumps. Aww. I was real proud.
No, I had a cat. I had a cat for, like, since I was like eight, like second grade is like Girl Scouts, brownies. I remember I have a picture of her when I'm in my brownie uniform and I'm holding the cat. And also she's looking like, ah! I'm like, no, be holding me. But she, once my parents moved to like a nicer house, they're like, she's an outdoor cat all the time now. She does not come in. They wanted my brother's dogs to be outdoor dogs when they were at the house. They were like, oh, we don't want your dogs in here. And they're like, they're our babies, which, you know, they were their babies. Yeah. So they ended up letting them in. And now my parents dogs it all the time.
Isn't that such a weird concept? We had like an outdoor cat.
Yeah.
I would never let my cats outside.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So I know you from Open Michelle.
Yes.
When did you start doing stand-up?
My name is Sue Smith.
I'll say that in the intro, I swear.
Okay. I've been doing stand-up like on and off for 2 years, but I feel like I do stand-up and then I don't commit to it. Like, stand-up is a lot of work and a lot of hustle, and now just in the last like 6 months I've started to really hustle and put the time in.
Yeah.
I think but I think like a lot of different things can help your stage presence a little bit that go into that.
Yeah, because I
burp. Sorry.
That was beautiful. We are drinking carbonated water.
It's
so
delish.
It's understandable. No, I, when I decided I just wanted to do it, I just wanted to do stand-up, I like wrote out a whole set and I was really excited and I recorded myself and it was so bad. It was the worst. So it took me like a full 6 months to do an open mic, and then yours was the second time I ever went up.
So. I think like the nerve, I'm someone with a lot of anxiety, mm-hmm. and the nerves, like, I feel like the more I keep doing it, the less nerves I have.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I also feel like that room is so supportive that and I also figured out within like the first few times I did it that as long as I pretend I'm confident, then people react to that.
Oh, yeah.
So if I go up there and just like exude confidence, then they're not nervous for me, because I get nervous for people, especially when it's other like a whole female community. I'm like, do well. Like, I want them to do well, and I want to support them. And you've actually had a few first-timers at the
open of first-timers at Open Michelle. But an interesting thing about that is that, like, okay, Margot Lightman, who I never had as a teacher, but I heard she used to teach a lot of storytelling classes, and I heard secondhandedly that one of her big notes to her classes was, like, you never want the audience to feel like you're not in control, or like you're not, or you're going through something up there.
Yeah.
So like, I always try to like just be confident and just be like, let them relax,
right?
You know, even
yeah,
if I'm
exactly.
like, this isn't good.
Yeah. The first time I did like improv, I was fine. My only nervous twitch, my mother told me later, thanks mom, was that I was like petting my own hair.
Yeah.
The whole time, and like fixing my shirt and petting my hair. But with stand up, it was like I did the Beast Sunday night, which is a 2-minute mic, and it was all dudes. Like, there were like 3 girls, but you know, mostly men. And my hand was so shaking so wildly. It was ridiculous. And I heard that, like, oh, one of the things that makes you look like you know what you're doing is to get up there and take the mic off the stand and put this mic stand aside. So I took the mic off the stand and I went to move the mic to the side, but it was all coiled up on the thing. So then I was tethered to it like a foot away, and I'm like, this is terrible. So the second time I did it, which was at Open Michelle, I was like, I'm just keeping this on the stand.
Oh, I always take it off. And you know what? Like, for this is, it sounds so silly to be talking about this stuff, but it's like big.
Yeah.
But for like a few months, I've been like, I want to sit down when I talk.
Oh my God, me too.
Yeah.
Like, I always, whenever I imagine myself going up there,
mm-hmm.
I'm going up, taking the mic off and sitting down on the
Yeah. And stool. And not many people do that, but I saw Marc Maron in LA and he does that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's cool if I do that. So then I started doing that. And when I do that, I just feel like I just relax so much more. And
yeah.
I just feel like, okay, we're here. Let's talk.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's really interesting. But yeah, there's a lot more nerves in stand-up. I feel like because it's just you. Like, you know how people say, like, with improv, you feel like you have the whole group and it's nobody's fault and everybody shares in like the glory on good things and they share in the fault when it's bad. But when it's stand-up, it's just you. So when it's bad, it's bad. But when it's good, it's great.
Yeah.
So it's so true. Like the first time I went up, I just went afterwards. I went to like Mission Chinese, got takeout and ate it on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I hate this. How am I going to do
sure.
this again? And then it was fine after that. Like after the first time, it was fine. I don't have I killed it the first time. And then No. I did shitty the first time.
I don't know if it's a characteristically female thing or whatever, but like a lot of people, because I run BYOT too, and I see a lot of people who are nervous, and that I think you have to go through that. I don't know if it's a female thing, but no, there are guys at BYOT. Some of the guys will do solo stuff and they're like, their hands are shaking, they're holding the paper. And I remember that, like, I took Becky Drysdale's solo show class like 2 years ago, and when I was doing my first pieces like that, I went through that too. So I think that it's just a phase, and like the only way to get out of it is to just keep going and keep doing it.
Do you have a lot of people on BYOT who try out? What do they do? Like, I know people bring improv teams.
Yeah, it's improv and sketch. And we do have people who do solo stuff too. It's like character stuff too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's cool. Because I think we try to make that like a really supportive environment too. Because even those jammy jams can be totally nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten to the regular improv jam. I am making that like a goal to do that because I've heard of great things, and you know, Sypha runs it and I love, or is the DJ for it, and I love Sypha, and I'm just like, okay, I can do it, I can go. But it's more like the first jam I did was, they just did a like an info session before Harold Auditions, and they did a jam with that, and I thought it was really fun. But it's also like, it's a lot of terrible improv, you know? And, like, it's just, like, you have to just have fun with it. As long as you're there and you're, like, you know, chatting with your friends and having fun and the improv's going on, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
I used to tech at Chelsea, and I would tech Sunday afternoon class shows from, like, 11 to 6. And so I realized that, okay, it's not just, like, me doing bad improv. It's like everyone else is doing this too.
I just saw my friends
Not that all class shows are bad.
No, no, it's true that a lot of them are, especially the Sunday is like 101 through 301, right?
Yeah.
And 401s too. I just saw my friend's 401 and I was thinking of taking more classes and I'm like, should I take a 401? And it's like, no, I don't want to take one because everyone's so stressed out about trying to get into advanced study that they're like really like concentrating very hard and like making sure they get and they're all in their heads. And it's like, you see, like I saw it in the performance.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I think that the less you care, the better you are.
Yeah. So when did you start?
I started the UCB in 2007. And then I, 2 years ago, so I was just doing improv. And then 2 years ago, I think, I took Becky's solo show class. And then I wrote my solo show in that. And then in 2011, 2012, I had it run.
Nice.
Yeah. And so when I was doing that, that's when I, like, before I started doing that, I had done a lot of stand-up. And then when I was doing that, I kind of didn't do stand-up because that took up all my time. But now I'm doing more stand-up.
And how'd you hear about UCB and end up going there?
I went to college in the city, and I had gone there for a show in college, and I think it was The Real World, which was the show that Shannon was in. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a lot about it, but I just remember somebody's like ass got right in my, got right in my face, maybe. But I always wanted to do it, and I was just too nervous. And then I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna do it."
Yeah. Was comedy always like a thing in your life?
Yes, it was. It was a lot of like, I studied writing and journalism in college, and it was a lot of, like, I edited the college newspaper.
Where'd you go to school?
Pace, here in the city.
Oh, okay. My brother went there for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just knew he wanted to be in New York, and he was like, I want to do business, and he went to Pace, and then he was like, I hate this. I don't like business, but I love the city. And he ended up going to UConn, as everyone in my family did, because we're from Connecticut, and it's cheap.
Oh, sweet.
And we like the basketball team. Great reason to go to a college.
Yeah, why not?
But you studied writing and journalism?
Yes, and I edited the newspaper, and then every year we would do an April Fool's issue.
Oh, those are the best.
And it was my favorite. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to, like, I wanted to work for The Onion or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, in high school and stuff, I'd taken improv classes, and I'd always wanted to perform, but it was all like musical theater, and that's not my thing. Yeah. My college was all musical theater. I'm like, screw that. I'm not doing that.
When I hear about people whose like high school or camps or colleges had improv or like comedy troupes, I'm just like, what? Mine, I barely made it through college. Like, college was tough. It wasn't as fun for me as everyone else seems to have. Like, everybody else seems to have had a great time, and I was just like depressed, learning to live by myself for the first time, learning how to really deal with people that you had to see every day. If you got into a fight with someone on your floor, or, you know, somebody said something, you had to learn to deal with saying like, I'm sorry, and let's get over it, and let's be able to live together again.
Yeah.
It's incredibly hard. That and middle school are the hardest.
Oh, middle school was tough.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Middle school was my worst. Where'd you grow up?
Pennsylvania.
Whereabouts?
Northwestern. So it's near Erie, and it's kind of like on the New York border. It's annoying to explain, but it, like, when I go home, the quickest way for me to get home is to fly into Buffalo, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the quickest way to get home. Wow. Buffalo is far.
Far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I lived in Philly for a year, but that is nowhere near there.
Yeah. People don't realize how wide this state.
My growing up, my dad, for family vacations, my parents, my mom for some reason always felt like, oh, we'll let dad choose where we go. And so we would just drive. My dad liked trains, so we used to drive like across country or like in weird back roads to just follow trains. So I've seen a lot of like weird places that people didn't necessarily see. We took like a 3-week cross-country trip in a van to, where did we end up? Nebraska. We ended up in Nebraska, but we definitely saw like South Dakota, and it's just weird. I have this whole, I've probably been in like you know, just random parts of the country. I've slept through, at least.
Yeah, I always thought that I wanted to travel in the U.S., but then I just never did. I don't know.
I think it would be interesting. There are parts that, look, I'm trying to see more of the U.S. Like, this year, I did a trip. I'd never been to, like, Vegas. I'd never been to L.A.
Yeah.
So we did, my husband had a business trip in San Diego, so we did Vegas, then Grand Canyon, then LA, then San Diego.
Oh, nice.
And then next year, that same conference is going to be in San Francisco. So we're going to do like the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, cool.
Like Portland and Seattle, because we have friends out there, and it's places I've been to San Francisco, and it was beautiful. I love it. Everything everybody says about San Francisco is true.
Never been there.
Really?
Uh-uh.
My favorite was, it was November, so it was starting to get really chilly here. But it was, like, temperate out there, like, maybe high 60s. So you still wear, like, a hoodie, but or maybe just 60s. And then we went to, like, the farmer's market and got, they still had ripe strawberries in November, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And we got bread and cheese and strawberries. And then our friend picked us up, and we went up to Sonoma and drove through, like, wine country and camped out, like, not camped out in a, pulled over the car and set up a whole picnic, and it was, the leaves were changing, so everything was beautiful. Oh my god, it was, I highly recommend it.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, so what did you like? Do you have any weird vacation stories from when you were a kid?
Let me think. Oh, yeah. Every year we went to Ocean City, Maryland.
Ooh.
And I loved it when I was a kid, but I didn't. I mean, I went back as an adult, like, a couple of years ago, because my boyfriend's family lives in Delaware, which is, like, nearby. So we went back, and I was like, this is so trashy.
Oh, I mean, it's crazy when you realize, like, oh, this is where I was?
Yeah, I loved this.
Yes, I went back to, like, Ocean Beach, Connecticut, which is just, like, near where I grew up, and the sand is... The, like, sandy beach is not sandy. It's gravel. It might as well be, like, just rocky beach. Because now, you know, I've been to, like, Aruba and Turks and Caicos. And I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. Even Hilton Head, where my parents ended up starting to vacation. Like, they started to go on vacation to Hilton Head. And, like, when I was in, like, eighth grade, such a huge difference. It was like, oh, this is better than being in the backseat just, like, hitting my brother the whole time.
Yeah. With Ocean City, I was like, this is like Jersey Shore. Yeah. And like my whole childhood, I loved this.
Yeah.
Like laser pointers on the boardwalk and stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger brother.
Did you guys fight growing up?
Yeah, I beat him up. And I think it changed the way we relate today. Like, he just doesn't trust me.
Oh, no.
We're friends now. It's cool now.
Does he live in the city or anything?
No, he lives in my hometown. He's a physical therapist. He's better than me.
No.
That's tough.
My sister-in-law is a surgeon.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's tough.
So, everybody... My mom still says, are you sure you don't want to, like, become a teacher?
Oh, my mom says that all the time.
All the time. Because my mom was a teacher and is now, like, she runs a school, like a school system, you know. She's a superintendent of schools. I don't know if people know what that means because, like, as a kid, I didn't know what the superintendent was.
Yeah.
You know what the principal is because that's, like, the scary person. And she was that as well on her way up. But, no, she's just like, really, She always tells me to, like, you should, you know, volunteer with a bunch of different organizations and figure out what you want to do.
Mm.
And I'm like, I actually am doing what I want to do.
My mom was like that for a long time. Sometimes she gets in the mode where she's like, Susan, just go be a teacher. I don't know why you can't be a teacher. And my grandmother's definitely like that. Be a teacher, be a teacher. But my mom has really gotten supportive in the last couple of years.
Did, like, she see your solo show?
She did. I kept it from her. Like, she didn't see it live. She watched a tape. She found it. Like, I did not send it to her. She found it. But I was in LA recently, and I was, like, kind of freaking out. I had shows, and I was nervous. And she was like, don't worry. You're just there to perform and do a good job.
That's,
and, like,
nice.
It was nice because she, like, we definitely, I was definitely a difficult kid. Yeah. It's definitely a little emotional as a kid.
No, I was an angry and sensitive. I was more sensitive than I think people realized.
I was so sensitive.
Yeah. I think sometimes it comes out as anger.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't know how to deal with the feelings, like,
yeah,
whenever anyone would say anything to me, I would take it as like, oh my God, I messed up. I'm the worst, you know, and just like freak out. People always talk about like what damaged you to make you like.
I don't know. Just being a girl though, like middle school.
No, middle school is the worst for me. I like had really good friends and somehow managed to mess it up. I know exactly how I messed it up. I said something about someone, you know, like girls do. And I was like repeating something I heard from someone else and I shouldn't have. And then that like spread around and then all the girls turned on me.
Yeah. Like,
and it was so bad. And finally, I just, like, picked up my – I remember, like, picking up my lunch tray and being like, I'm going to sit at a different table. I'm not going to be, like, made fun of or wedged out or given the silent treatment. I'm just going to sit at another table. And I ended up doing that in high school kind of too, because somewhere along the line I was like, I don't want to talk about other people behind their back. I don't want to be mean. I don't like this.
Yeah.
And I ended up just, like, people don't want to – some people don't want to talk to you when you don't want to gossip.
Yeah, that's hard. I have trouble with that. Okay, because I'm a girl who loves to gossip.
Oh,
you know?
All people, not just girls. Everybody loves gossip.
But, like, there's a difference between gossiping and, like, talking shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes I have to, like, examine my motives. Like,
right.
If there's one person that I'm talking about and I'm, like, talking to this other girl and I'm like, oh, she did this, and I'm, like, texting her, do you believe this? And it's really just because, like, I want this other girl to like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I had this thing where I was like, ugh, I don't like that person. I don't like that person. And then I was, like, examining why I don't like them, and I'm like, oh, I was shitty. I was the shitty person, and they were reacting to me being shitty, and I need to, like, fix that. So I fixed it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just kind of have to, like, realize why you're, yeah, exactly, examine your motivation for it.
But that's why I think I'm so into, like, celebrity gossip and stuff God. Because it's, like, people you don't know.
People you don't know, people whose feelings you can't really hurt.
Yeah.
And I feel like celebrity gossip is so popular because we all know that, like, I can talk to the woman at
anybody.
The grocery store who's checking me out. If I hold up Us Weekly, we can have a conversation about Jennifer Aniston or whatever. It's that weird bonding thing you get.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now that you want to, like, talk about, tell people about?
What am I doing now? I love Michelle. If you guys don't know, what? No, we have this. What it is an open mic for women, and it's every Thursday at 5:30 at the UCB East.
And there are snacks.
There are snacks, and they're great. and it's good, and it's just a positive atmosphere for women to do comedy, because every open mic you go to, there's, like, one woman or two.
There's just so many dudes.
And it's a different sense of humor when you're writing jokes for you than when you're writing jokes to get laughs in a room that are all dudes.
I couldn't believe the difference in the response that I got from my jokes in that room.
Yeah.
There was one joke that my husband was like, maybe you just can that joke. Just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told it at Open Michelle, and it got, like, three laugh breaks in this one joke. And I'm like, oh, okay. The problem wasn't the joke. It was that there is a wide audience. I know a lot of women that watch Comedy Central. It's not like, you know, or that go to stand-up shows. But when you're doing open mics and you're just starting, it's all guys.
But I learned in my solo show, doing my solo show for so long, that I have to do the same performance no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, whether or not people are laughing. I went to this open mic, like a regular open mic, on Saturday. And it was, like, in a basement, and I was, like, the last one, and nobody was laughing. And I was like, I don't care. I'm just going to do it the way I do it, and maybe even go harder because I know this is funny. Like, I have to give the same performance no matter what.
Do you know of other, like, good open mics in the city?
I wouldn't say good. I know of other open mics.
No, I'm just terrified to go. I've forced myself to go to, not forced myself, but encouraged myself to go every week since I started going to Open Michelle, because I've done all new material every time.
Yeah.
And that makes me have to write. Now I have to, like, go back and listen to all those sets and be like, well, how can I change that joke? How can I make it better? What should stick? What should go?
I think as an improviser, my instinct is like, oh, I can't do the same material twice. I hate doing the same material twice. But I've found that when I do one joke over and over again, that's how you do get confident in it, and that's how it becomes good.
And also, stand-up is repetitive and building up an act that you can, you know, I want this to be something, I want stand-up to be something that I can potentially be really good at and make into a career. So it means, you know, figuring out not just 5 minutes, but then you're 10 minutes and then you're 15 and 20 and half hour and hour and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I have to go back and edit all of my quick 4 or 5 minutes down to what they really are, is like 3 minutes of good material or 2 minutes of good material, and then take that 2 minutes and, you know, add it up to.
But honestly, there are people doing the same material as when I started, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like doing the same open mic every week, is that I do want to force myself to do new stuff at that open mic, because a lot of the same people show up. And I don't want to just have that, like, be like, oh, she's funny with that, you know, those three lines or whatever. So you do stand-up. You did the solo show. Do you do regular sketch as well?
I do. I had a spank in February that needs a rewrite. Oh, boy. And then I had a web series last year that was great. And I have ideas for two web series, but I just gotta get them all rolling.
I think trying to come up with trying to actually execute on a web series seems super difficult to me.
Once you do it, it's fine. It's just like, it's a huge undertaking, and it's good because it's really good for exposure. Like, it gives
Do you like
good
rent
exposure.
Cameras?
My boyfriend and I have one, and then we usually try to find a shooter who has one.
Yeah.
Usually, if you find the right people, they'll have the equipment. But I think that's good. Yeah. I think it's good to have these tangible things that you can, like, send to people and be like, hey, it's funny.
Yeah, that's true. This is my version of a web series.
This works too. I mean, this is good.
Because I just, I don't know where to start. I wouldn't know where to start on a web series. I have, like, a few ideas for videos, for funny videos. I kept writing down stuff. I have kind of the best husband in the world. Anytime he thinks anything that I say is funny, he emails it to me. So when I think he's being, like, annoying and checking his phone, he's actually emailing me. I get home, like, from us going out to dinner, going on a walk or something, and I get home, there's, like, 5 emails of funny things I said.
Aww.
It's, like, stupidly nice.
That's adorable.
So I have this whole email, like, chain of stuff that could be made into videos or sketches, or figure out what they are, you know, try to figure out what they are. But I just haven't gotten there. And I don't right now, like, it's, you know, I'm sorting out my priorities. And I think this podcast is my number one right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stand up is up there. And improv has dropped a little.
I love improv, and I think it's a good skill to have. But that's not the thing that's, I feel like, the best tool for my career. Yeah.
And it's, you have to count on so many other people.
Yeah.
I think to do improv.
I want all the attention all the time. Basically.
Hello.
But so I also don't want anyone to look at me ever. No, don't look at me.
I feel the opposite. Everybody stare at me. I'm going to do weird stuff and just look at me. I think it's because I'm the youngest. And I was just all like, look at me all the time. And I was the youngest, and I was a girl, and I only had brothers. And so I think everything that I did was adorable, and I got a big reaction from. So that's why I like to be the center of attention.
My two best friends in high school were also the youngest.
Yep.
And they were like that too.
It is, you know, it's just, I don't know. I remember like learning dance moves that just I knew would make people laugh. And our kitchen table was always filled with laughter. Like my cousin used to come over and his family was like, he was the only child. And you know, dinners there were very like, you have to drink your milk and then you have to do that. You know, my family was just, it was a hodgepodge because it's my two older brothers and me and my parents. And then we'd all just be like, just stuffing our faces and trying to make my dad cry laughing. And that's just what dinner was. Like, that's how our family functions. And my cousin used to be like, they have so much fun. And it's true. Like, that's how I learned to function.
Yes. I didn't have fun.
No?
I don't know. Like, I my family's German, so we're like... It's all about, like, working hard all the time. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, I'm always going, and I'm, like, not good at, like, just hanging out and just relaxing and chilling.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I wish I could work harder and work more and work all the time. But I'm just like, well, what about that hour that I like to sit on the couch? Ugh. Where's that gonna go when I
feel so uncomfortable when I'm doing that. I'm like... checking my email. I'm like, oh, so I gotta be doing something else.
No, I really like to sit around.
Good for you.
Do nothing.
Good for you.
It's my favorite. But I have half German heritage. Well, it's like German and Swiss and stuff. I'm just a mutt.
Yeah.
From the west of Europe.
Gotcha. My grandparents are legit from Germany.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Not nice. No, I'm hardworking.
I found out when my grandmother died that she was a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Oh, from the South? Is it a Southern
No,
thing?
No. It's very colonial. It's just like, you know, my someone in my family. I'm like descended from someone that was here during the American Revolution. So like, you know, my family is like. I really like cracked up so much at the in 30 Rock, Jack Donaghy does this thing where he's like, you know, in third generation takes improv classes or whatever, and I was like, ooh, I'm like, you know, whatever generation, I'm a lot more than third generation, but it's like
I'm saying, is it a Southern thing because I watch Big Rich Atlanta. And on it, I swear to God, there was an episode where they, like, invited one of the other girls to join. But maybe it was one of those other...
I know they have, like, cotillions down there, like, coming out parties and stuff. I think they have them up here, too, in, like, certain areas. But wasn't at all, like, how I grew up just...
it was another thing like DAR, but I don't know. Anyway, that's...
They might be in the South, too. I just know that... Yeah. That it was on like did you ever watch the Gilmore Girls?
I didn't. My mom did. My mom's a big fan.
Okay. Well, talk to your mom. Emily, the grandmother, was like a member of the DAR, and for in the terrible Gilmore Girls years where Rory decides to move out of, you know, it's quit college or whatever for a year, she becomes a member of the DAR and like works there, but whatever.
My mom would always be like, I think we're like the Gilmore Girls. I'm like, no, we're not.
My mom and I would watch it together.
It's cute.
And then she would always wish that we were like the Gilmore Girls, because you know you want to be that close with your daughter.
Yeah.
And my mom and I are very close, but, like, once in a while, she'll say things that are a little like the grandmother says.
You're like, Mom, get off of it.
Mom, you're being a little Emily Gilmore. What? How could you? No, but that show, I still watch it. I still watch reruns. They have reruns on ABC Family.
I tried to get into Bunheads on ABC Fam.
I didn't try because... I couldn't, like, I don't know. I couldn't get over, like, the ads for it, and the name really sucks.
The name does suck. But I tried to get into it, and then I, like, watched two episodes. I even DVR'd it. But the writing is just so bad.
Well, yeah, and I really liked the Gilmore Girls. Like, I found it, I want to say like 3 years in, like third season, and Melissa McCarthy's in it.
Oh, bless her
heart. She's amazing in it. Mm. And when Bridesmaids came out, I was like, cool, Melissa McCarthy's in something. And I don't watch like anything on CBS, so I barely knew about Mike and Molly.
Oh, I've never seen that.
But I was like, oh my God, Melissa McCarthy's in this. And everybody's like, oh my God, did anybody know that Melissa McCarthy was funny? It's like, yeah, everybody knew that. Like, she, like everybody in the from Groundlings knew it, and anybody who watched Gilmore Girls knew it. So, you know, I'll say I'm second tier knowing about Melissa McCarthy.
She's great.
She's amazing.
The thing I like about her is she's always having fun.
Yes.
She's like always excited to be there and having fun.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
I think that's important to like show like you want to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Because like I remember I walked into like a improv practice group once and I'm like, ugh, I'm so tired. And Christian Capizzoli looked at me and was like, no. He's like, I'd rather have you leave than say that. And I'm just like, well, that's a lesson. Okay. So now I act like I've had four coffees every time I go.
I was at an open mic once and there was some guys in the back that were being like, judgy. Because that's how guys are. And the host was like,
after fantastic man impression, by the way.
After a while, the host was like, what are you even doing here? If you don't want to do this with your life, like, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I just fake confidence, fake happiness, and then I just go home and cry.
Well, yeah.
No, I've been so much better. I don't know how. I don't know why. Like, I'd say like 6 months ago, I was in a really shitty place. I don't know how it turned around, but I feel so much better now. And I'm off antidepressants.
Oh.
I was only on them for like 6 months, but.
Seasonal depression.
You're probably right.
Get it every year.
I feel like it started in August.
Oh, really?
So that doesn't make as much sense. I mean, definitely seasonal. You know.
From the seasonal depression.
Seasonal depression. The old seasonal depression.
My old friend.
I looked up like how to get the, you know, the lights that you can get that you just like put in front of you for
10 minutes. Yeah, I have one.
You do? Does it work?
Yeah. I also like to go tanning. That works too. It works, but I forget to use it every day. Like I'm bad with doing things every day.
Yeah.
You know? It does work though.
That's been like I've been trying to get on a real routine. My New Year's resolution was to get on a better sleep schedule because I was staying up till like 6 a.m. and then sleeping all day and then like waking up and taking a few naps.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I'm on this schedule where I have trouble waking up and then I have like 3 coffees in a day and then that makes it hard for me to get up.
Yeah.
Like the more I have the less I can get out of bed or something, but then I can't have any less because I love coffee so much.
Yeah, I now get up and go to Starbucks like and sit outside on there's a patio outside on this Starbucks.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's amazing. There's been construction the past couple days and it's been really irritating me. And I really thought I was going to get some weird disease from sniffing in the chemicals today. And I was like, this is probably a bad idea. But I sit out and it's sunny from 10:30 to 12:30, like direct sunlight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I do like stuff around here, and then I go there and I write outside.
That's on the patio
because it gets me out of the house. Out of the house.
Sometimes I like get so in it with like writing in the house that I like can't leave, and then I'm like, I've been here all day.
You just write all day?
Sometimes I'll just like do emails or like. I've been doing some freelance work, and like the night before, I'll be like, "Oh, tomorrow I'm gonna walk the block to the coffee shop and sit there." But then in the morning, I'm like, "I gotta get going."
Yeah, no, the hardest walk for me to do, but I get a lot out of it is to go to Carl Schurz Park, which is on the water.
Oh, yeah,
there.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I like to sit on a bench there and write, or just like walk there and listen to all the podcasts that I listen to because it's just it's a nice walk, but it feels like forever just to get over there.
Yeah,
it is nice over there. So, what are your like big life goals?
Oh my God!
Let's get into it.
Come on!
I want to hear about it.
Um,
clearly Miss America.
Are we talking about career things?
I don't know. They could be anything.
For a long time when I was in my 20s, I had a very specific goal of like...
Wait, are you out of your 20s now?
I'm going to be 30. Oh my God. Let's not talk about it.
Let's talk about it. You're going to be 31.
31. On the 21st.
On the 21st. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Ugh. Age. Anyway, but I always wanted to live in this particular neighborhood of Brooklyn with a boyfriend and cats and just like live and be cool. And that's what I have. And it's great. Yeah.
So you feel good.
I feel good. And then career stuff, I just want to just have more fame and fortune.
Of course.
And I just try to like do stuff every day to make that happen.
If you could close your eyes. And imagine,
close your eyes. Visualizing.
Get into it. Okay. Imagine, like,
my spirit animal? Fox.
Is it? How did you take Anthony and Tam next class?
No, I just thought of that now.
Because that would be the second out of three podcasts that we talked about spirit animals. Mine was a cartoon bunny.
Nice.
I saw it in the reflection of the water. But if you were to, like, imagine just, like, the absolute coolest, perfect thing happening to you, what would it be? Career-wise.
Okay. So I'd be on an NBC sitcom.
Right.
Yeah. But I'd be so cool on that NBC sitcom that, like, Judd Apatow would be like, oh, you, just be in all these movies that I'm doing.
That is amazing.
And so there's that. But, like, I also love writing, and I would also – I've have a pilot that I've like written, but like I'd also like love to work on my own show and mm-hmm. have a hand in the writing and the direction of that.
Yeah, I look at what Tina Fey has done with what she did with 30 Rock, and I think she writes for herself so well.
Oh yeah,
that is impressive to me because I have a hard time writing in general.
I don't know if she writes that show, though.
She wrote a lot. She like, created it. Obviously, she created it, but she did write on the show.
You know, but Kay Cannon was a really funny writer.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of other writers on the show. Yeah. Like, there was a writing staff, but just, like, when you think about things like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Like, Mean Girls was great. 30 Rock was great. A lot of what she wrote on SNL was great. But then you see like some of the other movies that she didn't write, that she just starred in.
Like you're talking about the Amy Poehler.
Baby Mama.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, some of the stuff in there was funny because they're funny girls, but it's also like you didn't write it and you could tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is not what you'd write. It's still funny, but it's not what you'd write for yourself.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me how much better she writes for herself and how great she is at writing.
Because I think she knows her voice and she knows what she thinks is funny and she just does it.
How freaking powerful is that to know your voice?
It takes a while.
I have no idea who I am. Yeah. I did decide that I'm going to be positive in stand-up, not negative.
Okay.
By that I don't mean that I like say only nice things. By that I mean, like, I was, like, the joke I was doing last week was about how I don't really fancy myself a dog person. But instead of saying, like, I hate dog people, I hate dogs.
Yeah.
I said, I wish I were a dog person. I mean, dog people are clearly, like, the best people in the world. Everybody loves them. Everybody loves dogs. Yeah. So starting out like that instead of being, I hate that.
I try not to exclude my audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because for sure. Also you have to realize when you're talking about dogs, everyone else loves dogs.
Yeah.
And even if I heard somebody say, I hate dogs, I'd be like, who the fuck are you? Dogs are great.
This guy had a joke at the open mic the other day and it really was like, he was being self-critical and then he made me feel bad or made me be like, he's like, I wait tables, so I guess I'm a fuck up at life. And I just look at the other waiters and I'm like, we're all fuck ups. And I'm like, well I wait tables and I'm not a fuck up. Yeah. So like, what are you saying about me? And yeah. I'm sorry that you think that, but like, I have worked really hard to overcome that and be cool with it.
Yeah.
So that just made me be like, so I try to like not do like big judgments. I try to like keep stuff to like me and what I think. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So, But yeah, that's the only The only type of like thing I've realized in myself is that people react better and I feel better if I'm the positive person.
Yeah.
I can be critical of things, but as long as I'm looking at it in like a positive light, it people react better to it.
Yeah.
Even if it's comedy and you think that it should be all, you know, sour and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But was it, so you are you a more TV centric person than movies?
Than film? You know, I, for me to be on TV, I think it appeals to me because it feels like it would be a stable job.
I think about that too.
But I think, and I haven't had a stable job for so long, but I think movies are more like, are funnier. I think that's like a sweeping generalization.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a lot of sitcoms, like traditional sitcoms, like Two and a Half Men makes me want to kill myself. Me I don't too. Like that kind of don't humor. Like so like, no. And I think it's hard for to get a show to happen and like all the logistics of it if it doesn't fit in a box, you know, and it's easier to be more creative with film.
I think it's frustrating that a lot of the television comedies that are so popular are popular because it's broad humor that any dummy could get. And because you don't have to be paying attention to get the jokes. Like, you can be on your computer and watching TV and hear people laughing and be like, I'm totally enjoying this. You know, I feel like that's part of the appeal. Whereas, like, if I'm watching, you know, Parks and Recreation or Happy Endings or something and I'm on my phone and I look down for, like, a minute, I've missed like 10 jokes and I need to like rewind and pay attention. And there's something, and yeah, you have to like, there are a few jokes that take a second and that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm much more TV centric than.
Are you?
Yeah. I think there are some, when a movie is great or when a movie moves you, like I like even when we're talking dramas and comedies, either way. I think that's wonderful and it really affects me, but like I feel like I just like, I don't know why, but I feel like we're in like the golden age of television right now. Like television is really happening. It's like really you know, people are taking more risks with TV. They're putting there's more outlets for creativity. So you get, like, you know, you have IFC shows and AMC and FX and all this stuff. It's a lot, you know, you're getting a chance to experiment and see more.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Mad Men and I am, like, stunned by, like, how it's so cinematic and the writing is impeccable. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And I was talking to Claire and I said I like the idea that you can have the character really develop and get to know them over years.
Yeah.
Instead of just, well, she's quirky.
Right.
And boy, can she not get her life together. But guess what? You know, like.
Every time I go on an audition, it's like, Zooey Deschanel type.
Well, you are kind of a Zooey Deschanel.
I mean, but I think it's such a broad thing. Like, oh, she's funny. Like.
What did they call it? The manic pixie dream girl?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I I feel like I go on auditions for Young Mom all the time.
Really?
Yep.
Good. I never get sent out for Young Mom. I wish I could.
Young Mom. Yeah, and then I try to go out for stuff that's like if the like I'll be like, oh, it's somebody in their 20s, which I am, but it's like they don't want me. I don't know why. Guys, why don't you want me?
Because there's like a type, like. Yeah. Because it's so much about, like, pigeonholing.
Yeah.
They want, like, party girl. Yeah. Or, like, I don't know.
I'm not skinny enough to be a blonde.
Or they want, I don't know.
No, I know. It's trying to fit into boxes is worthless, but it's also exactly what they want. So that's why you have to write for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what sucks because I'm not great at writing. I mean, I can write. I can write fast. If I have an idea and I think it's good, I can write fast. But I think I got really down on writing because of, like, sketch class. I took some sketch classes at UCB. I just don't like writing.
But sketch is a different kind of writing.
Yeah.
Sketch is only appropriate for two shows on TV. So it's like we have this whole program at the UCB, but then it's like what? It's, you know, SNL or Key and Peele where, like, the rest of TV is pilots and storylines and shit like yeah. that. And you don't learn how to do that.
And I come up with weird, like, I remember,
and I'm not saying, like, I love the UCB. I'm not saying, like, they're responsible. Like, you can learn it up the pit. And sure. You can learn it at screenwriting classes. Sure. Of course. But, like, it's a very specific style of writing.
Yeah. I'll write out, like, I'll write out little plotty things that just, like, if my day went a weird, like, rom-com way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you'd find a stray dog. This is what I imagined. You'd find a stray dog, right? And you'd go and if this were like a video short or web short, you'd like find a stray dog and then you'd go to a vet to like see if it had a chip and then it did and then you have to go home.
Yeah.
So like but the rom-com way would be like it didn't and you went back to the park every day until the owner finally came and it was a guy but he had a girlfriend but it, you know, the girlfriend was like so bitchy and then like, oh, he like decided you were so sweet and, you know, that would be the rom-com version.
Yeah. I took the movie improv class.
Cool. Who'd you have as the...
Neil Casey and Dynamo, and I took it like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but it helped me learn so much about writing movies because what you do is you learn about genres and you learn about everything that's in a genre and I'm like, oh, then that writes itself and like every Western does this, you know, and it makes it so much easier.
That's really interesting. Who's been like your favorite teacher at the
theater? Ooh. Well, I've had Neil like 3 times. I just had Chelsea Clark, which was great. Mm. I hadn't taken a class in like a year and a half, and I took Chelsea.
Was it a 501?
Yeah.
Did she do soundtrack with you guys at all?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
That's fun. She's great because she's like, it's just like a warm vibe.
Yes.
Because a lot of those vibes are like heavy and heady and stuff like that. So I liked her. My 101 I had with Bobby Moynihan and Lennon Parham.
Oh, wow.
And it was like great and so fun. I like Jordan Klepper because he's like high energy and positive.
I've never had him as a teacher, but
he's great. And Laura Gray, I love as well because she does a lot of physical stuff, which we don't always think about so much. I took a Porter Mason 501 a while ago, and he talked about like the theme was like stage picture and like doing your scene, making each scene look like a different part of stage. And we did that for the whole 8 weeks, which was so helpful. So I like that. But yeah, I like Chelsea, Laura, Jordan.
Yeah, I think right now Ari Vukitis would probably be like my favorite teacher.
Heard he's amazing.
You've never had him?
I've never had him. He's a very nice, supportive person. Mm-hmm. Always lovely to be around, but I've never had him as a teacher.
I had him for 501 and then I had him for Sketch 201 back to back.
Oh, cool.
So he got a whole lot of Liz Lorinsky up in his face for like, what is that, 4 months straight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, he was great. And I think our sensibilities matched up a lot, like a lot. And Chelsea's just an amazing person.
She's great.
She's just like,
She's not like overly notey. Right. I find that like a lot of teachers that like give so many notes, I'm like, well then what is right? You're telling me all these things I did wrong. What should I have done right?
Yeah.
And then it gets you, like, in your head.
Yeah. I had a lot of... in my 201, I cried in class.
Oh, I almost cried in class in my Chelsea Clark class.
I
cry a lot.
it was in the middle of a scene. Because I had Mike Still for 101, and then I took him again for 201, because I was like, he's great, I want to take him. And in my 101 show, I had... somebody came out with like a back, they were like holding their back and they were like stooped over and limping. And I said, oh, what's wrong? And then they had intended that I had like worked them to the bone and that I was like the bitch in the situation. But all I knew was that this person was limping and not saying anything. But then I'm like, oh my God, I asked a question. And so the next class I went into, I felt like completely paralyzed that I couldn't ask a question. I think I read Truth and Comedy in between too. And it was just like awful. So I get in this situation. I'm like, I'm sitting across from this person and we're supposed to be at dinner. And I don't know how to talk without asking any questions, which is obviously a rule that they just tell you at the beginning. And it's not actually a rule that you keep up. but I'm just paralyzed and I start to cry. And the person across from me is like, oh my God, what do I do in this situation? And Mike just told us to keep doing the scene. And it turned into like a pretty good scene. But that was like my biggest breakdown.
Yeah.
Except for one that happened recently, but.
I've had the same coach for an indie improv team for like a year.
Who's the coach?
Megan Neuringer. She also directed a spank I just did. And I...
Is she back in New York?
Yeah, she's in New York. She's brilliant, and I love working with her, but she just knows how to make me cry all the time. Because I don't know what it is, because she just pushes you so hard to beyond what you think you can do. I'm like, I can't do this any differently. And she's like, no, just do it differently. And then you do, and it's funny. Yeah. But, like, I just get frustrated.
It's hard to... I've been in Anthony Atamanek's class, and it's hard to not... It's hard to just keep taking the notes and try... And, like, keep trying something different. We tried this one scene. I tried to do a premise-based initiation, which I'm not very good at, because I feel like it's very stilted and robotic. Like, you come out with a blah, 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 blah. This is what we're doing, basically, telling the person. And it just came out really bad. And he was really pissed off with it, obviously, because it was awful. And then we had to go through 5 different starts of that scene before we figured out how that scene would work to be, like, to even start it.
Ugh.
And it ended up, so this took forever. And then it ended up that the way we should have started it was by screaming at each other, which I don't know how you would actually start an improv scene, not talking to anyone, not making any, like, in what improv scene, if someone was screaming at you, would you know to immediately click on and scream back at them? Like, I feel like that's not what most people would do.
Somebody screaming at me, I would scream back at them.
You would?
Yeah, for sure, because that's like a matching thing, and it's like a huge emotional choice. Yeah. So, like, whenever there's an emotional choice, I feel like that's grounded, so I'll try to match that.
Yeah, I feel like usually if someone's screaming at me, I would turn on like a timid like cry, like stop it.
I think that the best note I ever got was from Delaney, who was like, if you're trying to be an actor, you're always just going to play versions of yourself. Mm-hmm. You're always going to get casted for versions of you. You're not going to get casted for, like, the thing I was going to say was not nice. I would never get casted to be Precious. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my type.
Yeah.
So he was like, in your improv scenes, just react like you. Just be you.
Be a version of yourself.
Be a version of yourself.
Yeah, that was... That's a good note.
So that's just what, and that changed like my total, all of my improv.
That's interesting.
Sure. I mean, I play characters and I love like doing silly shit, but like if I don't think that me would be doing what I would do, if I'm in a scene and I'm like, I wouldn't really react like this, then I change what I'm doing.
So the spank you were talking about, is that the one you put up in February?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you're editing that and hopefully putting it up again?
I think so. I don't know. It's hard when you have so many, like, you're like, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. I feel like really there's a really great supportive community. And so I do have a lot of shit going on. So it's hard to know where to focus. But yeah. So I'm doing that. Let me plug some shows here.
Yes. Okay. Every Thursday we have Open Michelle. Told you about that already.
5:30.
UCB East. Every Sunday I do BYOT. I host that. Co-host that at 10 o'clock at UCB East. And then on the 31st of May, I'm doing Gentrify, which is a Friday. I'm excited. And the 28th, I think I'm doing Sean Donnelly's show, Alligator Comedy in Brooklyn. And what else am I doing? I think I'm doing Beastmasters too, which is another stand-up show.
Cool.
Yeah, guys.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So let's ask the last question.
What's the last question?
Okay. The first last question is, what did you have for breakfast?
I live in Brooklyn, you guys. I made some chia seed pudding. I've been experimenting with different kinds of chia seed pudding. And this one I made was like a banana cream. And it's really good, but it's a little too sweet.
They have a really good chia seed muffin at Le Pain Quotidien.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do. It's got bananas in it.
I'm going to get on that.
It's very good. The second question is massage or facial?
Ooh. Massage, because I only like facials from one person.
Ah.
Yeah.
Who's the one person?
Her name is Britta Plug. She works in Brooklyn at the Beehive. She's amazing.
Oh, I'm going to have to go because
she's amazing.
I have this one person, but she's in my hometown.
Oh.
And it's a pain in the ass to like make sure that person is working on the right day, all that stuff.
Yeah, you got to go to my girl, Britta.
Oh, that's great. I will. That's amazing. And then let me come up with the next last weird question, because my idea is I will keep asking. I asked Mariola what she had for breakfast. I asked Claire what she had for breakfast and massage or facial. And now I'm asking you.
Yes.
Roses or tulips?
Tulips.
Tulips.
Because we had them in my garden when I was a kid, so it's nostalgic.
That's really nice. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
No probs.
And yeah, and if you come to Open Michelle, you'll get a double dose of Gavin Like Gals, because I'll be there too.
Yeah. Bring the snacks.
For my 4 to 5 minutes. Bye.
Bye.